save face in all its stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. And I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming. back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've needed, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've needed, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, the opportunity that we have, people of like faith, to come and to lift the name of our Lord and our Savior, the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We honor you. We reverence you. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit inside of us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come in perfect unity with you and follow the leadership of your Spirit. We thank you that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you that your words that are being spoken in heaven can be spoken here to create your plan. We thank you for the vision of what's happening in heaven of your will can be ministered to us here on earth. Thank you. Oh, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we lift our hands to you. We humble our hearts before you. We're in awe of your sweet presence. Oh, glory, 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 glory. We want your perfect will to be done, Father. We think that you loved us so much that you laid your life down for us, but death couldn't hold you. You picked it back up again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive forevermore and you're alive upon the table of our heart, inside of our spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The last verse, and we're going to the sixth chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to chapter 6. You know, you and I, we need to embrace grace. We need to embrace grace. If we're not careful, the enemy will come to us in different ways, and we will end up wasting certain aspects of grace. Because the grace of God just doesn't keep you and I out of the devil's hell. The grace of God just doesn't save us. The grace of God empowers us to be as he was, so are we on the earth. Amen? The grace of God empowers us to do the works that Jesus done and to be a light, to be a vessel unto honor for the living God, to show that the Word of God is true and genuine, and that God is the God, as Brother Corey was teaching in Sunday school, of all eternity, past, present, and future. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For sake of time, let's read verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. Great verses of scripture in here, but notice what the apostle Paul writes by the unction of the Holy Spirit, but by the grace, mark it down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. It was not empty. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Now notice this. We've got to stop working. We've got to rest in grace, be who we are in grace. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. But the grace of God, which was with me. All right, hold your place there and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse number 21, it's talking about Jesus, what He done for us. And we need to read that to be able to get into chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You there? Say amen. For He hath made Him, God hath made Jesus, to be sin for us. Say, that's me. Who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Chapter 6, verse number 1. Chapter 6, verse number 1. We then as workers together with Him, working with Jesus Christ, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, in emptiness. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for the goodness in our life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the service, Lord. Give us the ability to still our minds, Lord, and open our hearts wide and still and grant into our hearts, Lord. Give us the understanding, Lord, to step forth in the ministry, Lord, that you have us to do, Lord. That it be viable in our lives and through our lives, for your life, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen
and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Notice in these verses of Scripture, but I love this, and we'll tie this together with the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul said. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You and I this morning, being blood-bought, being blood-washed, we need to recognize and realize that the Scripture says, Paul writes to the church, I believe it is, I guess he wrote it to Timothy. But the work that God started in you, God's faithful to finish it. Amen? And so you may not feel like that you're all that you are going to be, but as you walk with the Lord day by day, hand in hand, His Spirit in your spirit, your mind being renewed by the Word of God, being in fellowship with the Lord and His handprints all over you, working in unison as you listen to Him, as you yield to Him, as you love on Him and He loves on you, you are what you are by the grace of God. And you're not going to be the same tomorrow that you are today. You're going to be changed from glory to glory. Every time we have a glorious encounter with Jesus Christ and we can have that intimacy day in, day out, continually, you're going to be changed. And there's going to be a revelation of the glory of God that is going to be manifested in your life through the Word of God. And the anointing that is on that Word is going to come up inside of you, up inside of me, renewing our mind according to Romans 12:2. And we come into the perfect will of God rather than just messing right out here with the acceptable will of God or the good. We come into that perfect place. That place of maturity, that place that God can count on. But we've got to embrace grace and not waste the grace of God. We've got to learn how to live in that grace. Know that you can be what God calls you to be, not because of the work that you can do. I couldn't save myself. You couldn't save yourself. The glory goes to Jesus. Amen. We can't boast in what we can do or can't do because we can do nothing. But because of the grace of God and our faith in that, that's how we're saved. And that's how we're going to stay saved, and that's how we're going to mature. That's how we're going to develop and to grow into the things of God. And notice what the Apostle Paul said there in verse number 10, he said, I've done a lot of laboring. He said, I worked for the Lord and all of this. But he said, I really realized that it wasn't me that was doing it, but it was the grace of God which was in me. Oh, my. I don't know about you, but the devil comes against my mind all the time trying to put a boundary, trying to put a limitation, trying to tell me what I can do and what I can't do, trying to tell me what I'm qualified for and what I'm not, trying to make me doubt that the call that I know that God has placed on my life, the call that you know that the Lord has placed on your life. But it's not us that does it. It's the anointing that abides within us forever. We have an anointing that brings that calling, and we have giftings that come out of that calling that causes Jesus Christ to be exalted and causes the gospel to go forth in a true revelatory power that people can see, they can understand, they can wrap their mind around it, they can wrap their heart around it, they can be touched. Amen? And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to say, God, I know that I'm not saved by grace. I'm not saved by works, but I'm saved by grace. I'm not going to do my calling by works, but I'm going to do it by the grace that's in me. There's things that you know in your spirit that is so dynamic. There's things that you know in your spirit that God is, through His Holy Spirit, is wanting to renew your soul to bring you up to a new level that's going to happen this year. If you knew it in the flesh, you would be scared. You would back away. So God brings it to us in a timely fashion. And He matures us and causes us to be able to grow and to do more and to say more. It's just like these grandbabies that God has blessed Don and I with. I watch every day they learn just a little bit more. And as they learn a little bit more, they're able to do a little bit more. And they're starting to say things. And as they start to say things, it opens up more things for them. It's the same way with you and I, because when we got saved, we were a babe in Christ. Amen? And we start maturing by the Word of God, by our relationship with Jesus. And we don't have to labor and to wear ourselves out in this salvation. Wear ourselves out in this calling. There is a work for you. Now, hold your place here in Romans and go with me to Corinthians. Go to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see something. Romans chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 16 and 17. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 16, Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You and I, we need to tell everybody, listen, if I'm able to witness to you, if I'm able to encourage you, if I'm able to help you in any way, bring you out of a darkened mind, out of a situation that Romans 1 is dealing with here, where the whole world is worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. If we're able to do that, it's by the gospel. It's the good news, amen? Inside of you, the vessel of honor, washed in the blood of the Lamb, anointed by the Spirit of God, you're empowered. You've been anointed to loose the truth of the good news of God to all of those people around you. And it says that we should not be ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You and I, we have the ability to loose that gospel. And when we loose that gospel, because we're not dependent upon ourselves, but we're dependent upon the grace of God working in us, we're embracing that grace. We're not wasting that grace. It's the power. It's the dunamis power of God. It can break a hard heart just like that. It can take the scales off eyes just like that. It can take the devil out of somebody's ears just like that. And they can come from a place of rejecting God, rejecting the gospel, rejecting the church, to embracing the reality of what their life is all about. Amen? And it's this power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. All we've got to do is get people to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. It's all right for us to talk about what we're doing in church. It's all right to talk about, certain testimonies of this and that, but somewhere along the way, they've got to hear the word. But because if you and I can give them the word, now it doesn't have to be chapter and verse. You can give them the word in a way that it's very subtle. They don't even know that you're talking Bible to them. But it's so powerful and so anointed and so true that they receive it because it doesn't have a lot of these and thous in it, but it has love on it. And that love starts getting down in their heart. And the anointing of God that's on that word, it starts working. And that grace of God starts drawing. And it starts revealing Jesus to them. Amen? And we are doing it because of the grace that's upon our life. Look what he said, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, quoting Habakkuk, the Old Testament, the just shall what? The just shall live by faith. By faith. Now, hold that thought. Turn over to the 11th chapter, Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Notice this. Well, let me read verse 5 too, I guess. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And I know that we're talking about the contrast of Israel and the Gentiles, but hold the thought we're trying to bring forth this morning. Verse number 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Now mark that down in your Bible, write it on the table of your heart. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So it's up to you and I today. Are we going to live this Christianity, or we're going to live it in reality, in the truth, in the sincerity that it's all by the grace of God, and stop trying to work for it? You say, well, I would never do that. We do it all the time if we would let the Spirit of God quicken us. We'll pray a prayer. And we'll pray it in the name of Jesus, and it originates out of the Word of God. So it's the will of God, it's the plan of God. But then all of a sudden, the devil will come and he'll go, but do you deserve God to do that? All of a sudden, we've stepped out of the realm of grace and we've stepped into works. All of a sudden, you're meditating and you're studying, and you run across Philippians 4:19. And you see the promise, but my God shall supply. What you want, what you need, no, all your, according to His riches. According to you, according to His riches in glory through what? Your Lord, your Savior. Amen? But all of a sudden we'll go, well, if I'd just work a little harder, or if I would give a little more. Now, God's all for work. God's all for giving. But we're talking about living in this relationship with Jesus by the grace of God. Embracing grace. Don't waste what grace will bring into your life, that will bring through your life, where God can get it to somebody else. God wants to be so glorified in you and I walking in this grace. Now notice, he was so clear. He said, it's going to be one or the other. And if by grace, it's no more of works. If it's of work, it's no more of grace. We have got to stop depending upon ourselves. Now you and I, we know that we're to spend time with the Lord. We know that we're to meditate on the Word of God. We're to feed on the Word of God, because the Word of God is to the spiritual body as oxygen is to this flesh body. We know that. We understand that. We're not talking about a free ride, but we're talking about being in a place where we operate in this life, in this walking of Christianity, not in our own ability. Jesus said, I want to give you several ability. Did he not? He passed out the talents. And he gave it to them according to their several ability, according to their gifting, according to their anointing, according to their calling. See, if I will walk in my calling, it's so freeing. It's so liberating. But if I get over here and I see a brother or a sister or I see a certain minister doing something else and I think, oh, I'd like to do that. Or maybe I get a little carnal and I say, I want to do what they're doing. Maybe get a little envious and try to do what they do. What do? I mess everything up. I can only be what the Lord called me to be. And why would I want to be anything else? There's rest. There's rest in being who God called us to be. There's perfect peace in being who God called us to be. Because when we're being what He called us to be, our mind is stayed upon Him rather than what the devil is trying to put before us or put around us to get our attention, to get our heart, to get our resources. And if our mind gets off of Jesus, we'll never have the peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. Oh, come on. We got so much to shout about this morning. We got a God in heaven that sent us His Son. And because we've been adopted in, we've been grafted in, you and I are spiritual Israel. Amen. We are a part of the plan of God. And we need to be excited about what God's wanting to do. Now go back to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, notice what he said in verse number 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Now this is the message that you and I have got to tell people. There's people all around us that are convinced that sin is going to have dominion over them, that there's no way to break out of sin. And you and I, we see all of these different step programs and praise God for what helps people, if it truly helps them. But God wants to do more than help. God wants to change. And the only way that we can be changed is to see what the Word says about me, what the Word says about you. The Word says that God looked down and He's seen me in my sinful condition. He's seen that I was lost and undone. He's seen that I had a death sentence on my head and there was nothing I could do about it. And He sent Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ walked in the entirety of everything that I walked in, yet He was without sin. He was perfect. He was whole. And He was that Lamb of God, that substitute without sin, without spot, without blemish. He died for me. And because He died righteous, when I called upon His name, when you called upon His name, all of a sudden, His righteousness was attributed to us. We were justified. Amen? And that's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. That's the grace of God. That if God could take away my sin by the blood of Jesus and start a work in me and start a work in you, it can be finished. Amen. Day in, day out. Poor man. Oh, yeah. Who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We've got to stand strong in our meditation time. And we lift our hands up. We look boldly into the throne of grace. We don't come with our head down. We come in awe. But we're able to look into that throne room because the blood of Jesus is on us. And God the Father doesn't see us, but He sees His Lamb. And we don't let the devil convince us that we're sin any longer. We're a saint. We're a child of God. And this grace, as we embrace that, we don't allow, look what Paul said in verse number 1, 6 and 1. We then as workers together with Him. See, you'll never work with Jesus. I'll never work with Jesus if we don't see ourselves righteous. Because we'll always say, well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they would do a better job. Because on the outside, as I look at their life looks better than mine. Jesus said, don't judge that way. See, you and I, all we can do is judge by the outward appearance. He said, judge righteous judgment. Judge by the heart. Come on, a lot of things look good on the outside. Jesus said, there's a lot of people in His day that looked good, but they were just what? They were a sepulcher that had been painted white and pretty, but inside it was full of dead man's bones. You don't determine what you do or don't do, but what somebody else can do or can't do. You do it because you're embracing grace. Because you hear the shepherd's voice. You hear his voice. And another you won't follow. And he's calling you out to be something special for him. Amen. You've got a call on your life. And in this coming year, this is the year of discovery. This is the year that there's going to be so many things discovered in your life, in my life, that God has hid until this point of time to reach the lost, to bring the harvest in. But we've got to be in the place and the position to let the grace of God bring it forth. Amen? Now notice what he said. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, if Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the church that went from one extreme to the other. We all know that. But he's telling them there is an opportunity for you to receive God's grace emptily. Now, he's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about living your whole life struggling. For over 20 years of my salvation, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't. I was saved on my way to heaven, but I struggled every day in myself trying to do what I thought I had to do instead of doing what the Lord wanted me to do. Operating outside of the gifting, outside of the calling, operating in myself. Always desiring to be somebody else and to do something else. Never satisfied where I was at. And every time I would try to get into that place, I would work and struggle and try so hard and pray so hard, and it would never work. And the devil would say, "See, God don't love you." Because the devil is the perfect liar to come to us and to make us doubt. God's a good God. He only gives good gifts. But I would struggle with certain things, weaknesses in my life. And I'd come to God and say, "God, why? But I wouldn't hang around long enough to listen to get the answer because I was too busy. I've got to figure this out. And if I'll do this and if I'll do that, it's going to all come together." It never came together and it never will. But the moment you and I just lay in the bosom of Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm in this for the eternity. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it by your grace. If you want me to be right here in this one place the rest of my life, I'll be there faithfully." All of a sudden, that shuts the door to the enemy. That opens up the heart for God to be able to say, "Let me take you by the hand, give you my grace where you don't have to struggle." Now, I know there's struggle on the outside, but there's supposed to be peace on the inside. And I'm not saying you don't have it, but I'm just telling you, I didn't. But I want you to have peace about everything. For those of you who are married, the devil is working overtime to keep husband and wife separated. And this year of discovery, you mark it down. You're going to hear that word a lot this year. And when we have our candlelight service at the end of the year, there are going to be so many of you that's going to testify about what a good God has allowed you to discover in this year. But here's the plan of the devil. He wants to keep husband and wife out of sync. He wants to bring fussing, argument, disagreement. He wants to bring different visions, different understandings. But you come together when you said your vows before God, and He puts you together, and you become one flesh. And so every time the devil tries to divide you, you say, uh-uh. Jesus Christ tells me, what is it, Matthew 19? I'm one. Just like God the Father said in Genesis. We're one flesh. One flesh means I can work just like I do with my body. My arm in sync with my hand. My hand in sync because it's being led by the head. Jesus is the head. Amen? So don't struggle in your marriage. Stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Every time something would come that would bring division or cause you to try to figure out how you're going to take care of it yourself, come back and say, Lord, you told Paul as he was dealing with the enemy when he had that thorn in the flesh, when he had that evil spirit working against him, you told him that your grace was sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, what is it, 9 or something? Your grace is sufficient. From the Greek, it's enough. So if it was enough for Paul battling that every day, it's enough for my marriage. It's enough for my relationships. And so this relationship is not going to be determined about feelings in the natural, which change. It's going to be determined by the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ has done come and He's done prayed for unity, for oneness. Amen? In the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 3, one of the most overlooked verses in Peter's epistle is the understanding that your prayer, my prayer, is hindered when the spouse and I are divided. So, of course, the devil's going to do everything he can. But you and I are going to be in the place of grace. Now, there's an anointing right now that's so strong. I can feel it so strong. What God wants to do, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27, that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Amen? He wants to break off everything off our lives that would cause division. And He wants us to be in the place and the position where we can operate in unity with one another, with other people in the body of Christ. Because to be able to do what God's called us to do, we've got to learn how to embrace the grace of God. And let every man be a liar, Old Testament, New Testament, and let God be true. Amen? See, the devil takes the smallest of thing and he magnifies it. And that small thing comes in between you and I, like a grain of sand in an oyster. Now that can be an irritant to you and I and cause trouble, or we can let God coat it and make a pearl. Amen. Let's let God coat it. Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's close with one verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, the last verse, I believe. Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is not a suggestion, it's a command. Notice what the last words that Peter wanted the church to know by the Spirit of God. But grow in grace. Now think about that. You and I, we have been commanded, and that means it's not only possible, it's going to happen if we will take heed to the Word of God. But growing grace, that word in there, in other places, several hundred places, is translated by. So however you wish to, whether you want to use it as, which conjunction you want to use, but wherefore growing grace, grow by grace. Now notice this. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now, forever, and amen. So this grace of God brings knowledge. Knowledge of the Most High empowers you and I. Because the Most High is always one step ahead of everything the devil wants to do. Amen? I said one. Let me do one last verse. How do we do it? Colossians chapter 3. How do we grow in grace? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let. You have to let it. I have to let it. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what? In your hearts to the Lord. Now, the connotation of this is, yes, you and I, we study. We know what the Scripture says, study to show yourself approved, even though that's not a good translation in the King James, if you want to study it out, but I don't want to cause trouble. But let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. This is about praying in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. When you and I do that, what happens? It brings the grace. It brings the grace of God. It causes you to grow. When you and I, when we do those things in the Spirit, as we talked about in Sunday school class, you get prejudice out of the way. If you're not careful, you'll pray a certain way because that's the way you feel. That's the way you think. That's the way you understand. Come on, we're spiritual beings, but we're in a flesh body. Amen? This is not went the way I thought it was going to go. So, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I love you, I honor you, I magnify you, I thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I just want to publicly say I am in awe of you. And I'm in amazement right now at what you're fixing to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, you move and we'll follow. We'll yield to you. I ask that you touch each one of us. Help us to hear with truth this word and be forever changed. Thank you. We bind any hindering spirit. We put down any thoughts of our own, any understanding of our own. And we just promise you that as you lead and guide, that we'll follow humbly. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come? Would you come and make yourself an altar? And say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm so thankful that I don't have to struggle anymore in works. That you've done the work for me. And I accept and receive the grace to be a Christian. I accept and receive the grace to be healed, spirit, soul, and body. I accept and receive the grace that you are my shepherd and I shall not want, I shall not lack, that you're going to take care of me. I receive the grace that you're going to put back together relationships that are hurt and hindered, that are strained, some that are divided, some that are even broken beyond repair. But I'm going to let you do what only you can do, and you, by your grace, bring them back together, because I want to have a testimony. I want to have an assurance that I go into people's lives that you lead me to where their lives are broken. That I can tell them from firsthand example that you're the God that makes things wrong right. Would you come this morning? Your spouse may not be here this morning, but you can come to this altar and you can stand in as a couple. And you can say, I'm here, Lord, for my spouse. I'm here for this person that I'm separated with, and I'm believing for grace to be able to come back in right fellowship, right relationship, to share the gospel, the good news with them. Would you come? There is an anointing today that by you doing that might change their life in a way that could be the difference between heaven and hell, between bondage and freedom, between enjoying life and not. Would you come? Thank you, Lord.